Welcome back to another episode of the Glitches and Gearheads podcast. It's again just two dudes, the same two dudes as last week. We got myself, Jordan, and we got Corin.
Hello.
And we are minus one Devin this week. He had some other stuff that he had to take care of. So if you only show up for Devin for some reason, then I guess just click off. I'll just tell you right now, he's not here. Yeah. He's not going to make some kind of surprise cameo.
Or you could stay and figure out how much you love me and Jordan.
That's another option.
You could do that.
See what else the other two of us have to offer.
Yeah.
Because we might. I'm just throwing it out there. Henry Cavill might come on later.
Yeah. I mean, it's a possibility.
It's Schrodinger's Cavill. He may or may not be here later, but you have to keep listening to find out.
Yeah. You'll have to listen to the whole thing.
It could just be a 2-minute clip somewhere in the middle. It could be 15 minutes in.
Hey, no. There's surprises throughout this episode. So don't go to the very end. There's surprises throughout.
If Henry Cavill is on, it's not going to be at the very end.
Yeah. It's going to be a surprise.
You can't pull that little trick and be like, I'm going to listen to the first 4 minutes and then the last 4 minutes. No, it's going to be somewhere in the middle. You got to just listen to the whole episode and see if he shows up. He's sneaky like that.
Yeah. You never know when he's going to just boop, you know.
I'll be honest. We don't even know. He might just pop in.
Yeah, he might just bing, just get in the Discord and be like, hey, guys, what's up? Because, you know, we're on first name basis with Henry Cavill at this point.
He'll be like, pop in. Hey, Jordan. Hey, Corin. What's up?
Yeah. Yo, Henry, what's up?
And then he'll be like, oh, Devin's not here. He'll be like, all right, well, see you later.
I'm going to go FaceTime him.
I'm going to go see how he's doing. I think he needs a little encouragement.
Yeah.
All right. So we've got a few topics this week. It might end up being a little bit of a shorter episode, because Devin did have some topics written down. So we kind of banked. I'll be honest. We banked on the fact that Devin had topics written down. So we didn't do as much.
Which I'm surprised we did that, because Devin has let us down several episodes. Mm-hmm. But I mean, the doc is full. You know what I mean? So
he let us down in a different way. Normally, he's here with no topics. This time, he's not here. And he's got a lot of topics.
Yeah.
I have to say I'm impressed.
I am also impressed.
Mm-hmm. Anyways, let's start this episode off with a bit of a funny one. We were looking for some topics at the beginning. And Corin was like, what is this? And I was like, no, that's mine. I got this one. So we haven't talked about Genshin in a while.
Yeah.
Because you kind of stopped playing. And I would say kind of stopped, as in, like, you deleted it off your phone and your PC. So you've pretty much fully stopped. You gave the account to your sister.
Yep, I did.
I still play. I still like the game. You just kind of got a little bored with it, which is fair.
I will agree with you. The game is good. It's a good game. I just went into it expecting something different. And when I didn't get the thing I was expecting, it was like you... I went into it hoping it was going to be something else, when underneath the mask, it's what I knew it was. So when the mask was taken off and I was like, oh, it's not going to change, I was like, all right, peace out.
Yeah.
But it's a good game.
For anyone who hasn't played it yet, if you've seen it, you're like, hey, I'll check this out. Don't go into it expecting like an MMO with countless hours of grinding that you can do like every single day. You can spend a lot of time playing the game for the first bit, and then once you've like explored everything, done all the story stuff, if you've done all the latest festival stuff or whatever, because they do have a lot of current event stuff all the time, it kind of just becomes like a game that you can play on the side really easily, which I personally really like for the fact that I can play it on the side. But anyways, getting a little off topic, because today... hashtag boycott Genshin and boycott Genshin Impact started streaming, and I think like hashtag MiHoYo do better or do better MiHoYo or something like that too. I saw this and I was like, what the heck? What? Why? Nothing crazy has happened. Like, people are actually fairly happy with the latest patch and the festival is really fun and there's a new banner out with a character that everyone's been looking forward. Why are people mad? And then I looked at it and I sighed heavily and face palmed myself.
Oh, wow.
It's basically some internet warriors decided to stick their nose in something that they have no idea what's going on, basically. They thought, so I guess there was like a clip, like a 1 second thing where there's like these, there's these things or these creatures in the game called hilly churls, which are basically like goblins in Legend of Zelda. And for some reason, people have decided that they're like indigenous. They're like Native Americans. And there was a clip where there was like the hilly churls dancing. And then like on the side monitor on like, this was like a picture in the dev where the devs were making the game. There was like some, like a dance of like some indigenous tribe somewhere. And they were like, oh, they're making fun of indigenous people, blah, blah, blah. And what?
What?
That is the biggest cognitive leap I have ever seen. In what universe does watching a dance and then imitating that dance or like somewhat translating it, not even like one for one into the game, how is that making fun of that race or that culture? Because I'll tell you right now, in the game, they weren't trying to make fun of them. They weren't being like, ho, 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 look at these idiots over here. Look at these idiot natives. And also, I'm sorry, but if you look at these hilly churls in the game and you automatically think that they look like Native Americans, the problem is probably with you.
Yeah, yeah.
And then there was another thing where they looked, they tried to pick out one specific character and they tried to like say that they were making fun of black people with this character when this character is not black. First of all, she's like supposed to be a dark-skinned Asian, and this is an Asian company. It's a Chinese-based company, and in no way were they actually making fun of this character or trying to paint her as like a villain. It was just like the craziest things that you could possibly pick out. And what ended up happening was people who were actually like rational ended up hijacking the hashtag and just basically saying how ridiculous it was and posting fan art and being like, well, this is crazy. Anyways, check out my fan art. And just posting memes with like that hashtag, making fun of the other people that were posting this hashtag. I don't even... Just go check it out. It's the craziest thing.
I
have no words.
I mean, this, it just seems, it, I don't know. Without getting too political, it just seems like everyone tries to make everything a political thing. Like,
yeah, that's what it is.
Like politically correct.
Yeah. And it's not even like they were politically incorrect. It was people like looking for something more than nothing existed.
Yeah. Well, to switch gears a little bit, same ungaming. Oh my god. All right. Let me
start over.
Wow. Wow. Okay. All I wanted to do was just say something, but I just screwed myself up. To all our Guild Wars players out there and Guild Wars fans, I just found out that the Super Adventure Festival 2021 is live.
Yeah, Super Adventure Box.
Yeah, so I'm going to go check that out. Oh, dude, you know what? Live on podcast, I'm going to see how much my dragon coffers are for. Because last time I checked,
anyone not
explain hip it
with the Guild Wars thing. So Guild Wars does frequent festivals. Like typically every other month there will be a festival. And like in the months where there's not a festival, there's like some kind of big story update or something like that. So the April update, or the April festival, is called the Super Adventure Box, which is like this basically whole other realm that you can go into. And it's like an 8-bit style game that you can play in the game, a game within a game. But the festival that Corin's talking about is called the Dragon Bash Festival. And each festival, there's specific things that you can farm that you can then sell for gold. And the price fluctuates because it's a real, like, it's a player-driven economy. So the price will typically somewhat drop over the festival. And then once the festival ends, over the next little bit, the price will usually rise. So Corin's been playing the long game.
I've been playing Dragon Coffers. Super long game. When was that festival? That was 2019, right?
It was... no, it was last year.
Okay, so 2020?
Yeah.
Okay. I think it was before... Was it before?
It was,
I don't know.
It was during the Rona.
During the
I
Rona?
Think. Okay. I think. Pretty sure.
Okay. Well, whatever
it was. It was the summer. Dude. It was a summer festival.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. Okay. That makes sense. So anyway, I got a bunch of these things, and I have
He's going diamond hands.
I went diamond hands for it.
He went diamond hands on these dragon coffers.
I've always been super interested. Like, we should talk about that too after this, but like in-game stock trading and that kind of thing, like goods trading, I think is so interesting. And I'm always scared to do like stock trading and like crypto trading and that kind of stuff in real life.
Yeah, you don't want to risk your real money.
Yeah, so I don't want to risk my real money, so I rather risk my in-game money, even though it sometimes hurts just as bad. But so I've always been super interested in that, and I checked. I was like, you know what? I wonder if, because I saw some stuff you can sell and some stuff you can't. So as soon as I saw that you could sell these things, I was like, ooh. So I went online and I looked at, you know, they have like a, basically like just like regular stocks, they have like a graph that shows you like the rise and falls of these things. And I saw that right before the festival hit, they went up to like 50 silver per like item. And that might not seem like a lot, but when the festival started, it went all the way down to like, I think it was like 19, even less.
Yeah, probably just 15 or 20.
Yeah. So it went down drastically.
Yeah.
And I have over 1,000 or 2,000 of these things. So I got them. I didn't even pay for them. I paid for a couple when they're super cheap because I knew I was going to do the long game. But I've been waiting because the last time I saw it, like the last spike was right before last year's festival, and it went to like I said, like 50 to 60 silver. So I was like, I'm going to wait until it goes back up to that. And I bought in at around 20 silver per, and currently it is up to 29 silver.
Yeah,
per.
That you're probably getting to the point where you're probably reaching about the peak, because the festival should be coming back around in the next few months. I think June, maybe. I think June.
I don't
or
know
July.
Though, dude, because every it does, like, if you look at the scale, it does, like, 2019, it went super up, and then it went super down, and it stayed low, and then before 2020. Festival, it peaked, but it didn't peak as high as in 2019, and then it went down again, and it's been like lower than even the peak was in 2020. So I don't know. I still want to play the long game because I have it, and it's really interesting to me because I haven't been playing that much of Guild Wars, but every time I get on, I'm like, ooh, I wonder how much this is worth now.
I think, I don't remember fully, the Dragon Bash was a festival that had came back somewhat recently. I think 2019 might have been the first time it came back in a long time. I think that might have been partly why the coffers were so expensive.
Because
that festival.
The last super peak was June 11th of 2019. They were at 73 per item, which was, I think, the biggest it's peaked. Or no, the biggest peak was in 2015. They went for 80 per. But yeah, so 2019 the peak was 60. The peak in 2020 was 50, and it's currently at 29.
Yeah,
and it's been it's been rising, like it's been a slow but steady rise. So I don't know. It like plateaued at 24 for a long time, and all of a sudden it's creeping back up. So
once the announcement goes out though, the festival's coming back is when the price will probably start to drop though. So you gotta be careful.
So I kind of have to be, you know, have my eye on it.
It's literally stonks.
Yeah, stonks for real though. Yeah. But so with that aside, let's talk about in-game trading, because I think that is super interesting and it's very complex.
It's super complex. Yeah.
For a game to code that into its, you know, what would you call it? Just to code it into the game it's got to take a lot of work. And then of course, like the game, the GMs, you know, have to be constantly, you know, on top of it, because we have so many people that are super smart and they can hack the crap out of pretty much anything. So they have to make sure that there's no one cheating the system. Of course, you're always going to get those people that do, but for the most part, they try to keep it fair.
Yeah. But I think hacking in items isn't that big of a thing. I don't think that happens very much. What is crazy in that it happens in literally every game is the community that builds up around the trading in the game. Like in Warframe, you can also trade like the premium currency, which is platinum. Yeah. You can straight up just buy platinum, but a lot of people will just earn platinum by farming certain things in game and then trading what people want to other people for their platinum. Yeah. And you can then in that way get basically everything in the game for free without spending money if you just farm the items and sell the platinum, trade the platinum to other people. But there are literally these like guilds and clans that form around selling these specific things in Warframe called Rivens, which are these mods that have like randomized stats, and these Rivens for the best weapons with like perfect stats can literally sell for thousands of platinum, which is like hundreds of dollars.
And it's because they control the supply.
And they will like control the supply. And someone a while back tried to make this Riven trading tool. And I can't even think of the word for it. It's like cartel. It was literally like a cartel of Riven traders.
So I managed to
shut it down, but then it backfired on them, and the devs put things in place they put it like an actual thing in game. I forget exactly what happened to like counteract the Riven traders and like the Riven scammers. So it backfired on these people. It was like the craziest thing when I saw that happening.
That kind of ruins the immersion though, because like, I mean, to me, to a player that maybe wants the Rivens, it might seem unfair, but like, if you think about it, it gives that like sense of like RP, like, oh, there's this, you know, this cartel that owns these things, you know, and the only way I can really get them is risk my life to get them, or I have to buy them from them, you know what I mean? So,
yeah.
I mean,
well, you can also look at it and like, maybe that's like the government cracking down and like implementing laws. Like it finally got the government's attention, you know?
Yeah, that's true. But then, you know, you got to think about like the underground trading and stuff. So it's like with games,
in the grand scheme of things, I don't think it did that much, because these things still exist.
Yeah.
And like the Rivens still sell for exorbitant amount of platinum. And anyone who goes into it not knowing what something is worth, if it's worth a lot, they can get like raked over the coals.
Yeah. So I have an interesting, like a little bit of a story time going back to my, oh my goodness, the Old Republic days, when it first came out. Oh, and by the way, tell us if you enjoy these like story times, like experiences, because if you don't, we'll cut them back. But I mean, in other podcasts, I enjoy hearing people's personal stories. But anyway, so as I've bragged about in this podcast, I was, you know, when the Old Republic first came out, I was one of the first people, you know, to get it. I was in the beta testing, all this stuff. So, early on, you know, we had our guild. We had about, it was a small guild. It was, I think it was only like 25 to 30 people. And most of them I wasn't like great friends with, but I knew of. But anyway, so there's this one guy that I knew personally, that I knew that in every single MMO game that had a trading or like economy to it, he loved to run the economy. Like that was his thing. He would get to max level and then run the economy, basically.
Oh yeah.
So what he did was early in the game, you know, we all leveled up to max level together. And of course I was PvP all the way and I did nothing but PvP. I made sure I was at the top of the leaderboard, blah, blah, blah. But he maxed out all his crafting stuff. So there was a point in the game where players couldn't get items. They couldn't even buy these items. They had to go through him to get him to make the item. So he was selling these items for buttloads of credits, you know? And and he also, these items that he was crafting, he told the people, you know, if you have the materials, the crafting materials to make this item, I'll give you a discount on the item. Because you're getting me the, you know, you're doing the work basically. But what they didn't know is that he also was paying us to go to these areas and just farm the crap out of these materials. So I would go and I'd farm the crap out of these materials, you know, wipe out loads and loads of mobs to get these items and go back to him. He'd pay me money for them and he would, we had our guild storage and he just had chests and chests and chests of just crafting items. And you know, he got to the point in the game where he was the guy. Like if you needed something, he was basically the only person you could go to. And what I would love to do is, because in early the Old Republic days, there was areas of the map where you could, it was open PvP. Like you could you could just open fire on anyone, right? So there are certain parts of the map that, you know, that it was, there was no restriction. Like you could, if you saw someone, you could kill them. Unless they're in your alliance or in your guild or whatever. So there, the areas.
Was there that, like, was there like a consequence to doing that? Would you get like a certain marking where you were like marked as a bandit or something for a certain amount of time?
No, I don't think there was. There wasn't any repercussion, but you know, it was known, like the game told you these areas are hostile and anyone, you know, it's hostile to everyone. So unless you're in a group with someone or in a party with someone, they can kill you. So I mean, they can't really when they kill you, they can't really steal your items. Like that wasn't a thing.
Oh, but, really? It wasn't like an open loot thing?
No, there was no open loot. Which was cool, but the crafting materials for these high grade items were in those areas, so they're always being fought over. So I would go in with like, you know, 10 of our, or I would say like five of our guild members, and we'd just camp these areas, and when people went to go get some, we would either No, now that I think about it, there was a consequence. I just can't remember, because I remember going up to the people and trying to say, okay, you can either give me credits and I'll let you live and you get the heck out of here, or I'm going to kill you. So there was a consequence. I just don't remember what that consequence was. I don't remember if it was items or a certain res time I don't remember. It's been a while. But I remember we would just camp these areas and like go after people that thought they're it's just clear. Let's get these mobs. And we just pop out of nowhere and just annihilate them. But good times. But anyway, this guy, like this guy in our guild, he was the dude. Like he was the richest person on the server by far, like by millions. And there were certain things you can only go to him to get because he started, like we all started at the beginning of the game, he had certain items that he could craft that people that joined later on could not get because they were just gone. So it was pretty crazy. And I would talk to him and he would know everything about the economy. Like I know that there's this amount of demand, this amount of supply, and like I know how much I can sell it for, you know.
They can manipulate the economy too. Like it's literally an actual economy. Like these certain, like a few people will get so powerful in these economies that they can single-handedly like change the value that something has. And like I know in Guild Wars that's happened frequently, especially with Mystic coins is typically what it happens with, where the price will just out of nowhere just completely change. And it's like, oh, the trading post barons are at it again.
Yeah, because they you know, they can undercut. If you have a certain supply of the item, you can just undercut whoever's trying to sell the item, and it almost makes it useless to even try to sell it on the market, so that these people they'll just go to the source and sell it to the person, and they'll give them like a little more. You know what I mean? So it's, you know, crazy. What game
I think, at least in my experience, and I've played a lot of games that have like open markets, I think the game that had like the coolest trading system, and the trading system wasn't even really like built in game, the players had to make it themselves. Like they had to make their own website and like their own ways of advertising things.
Oh wow.
Is Path of Exile.
Really?
Yeah, there's no in-game trading post or auction house. The best way to trade the way that most people do is they use a website that's just player made and player ran called PoE Trades. And for the longest time, you had to like there were like other tools, like third party tools that you could download to list items. And then eventually the devs actually like incorporated tools in game that you could easily sell things, like mark something's price in game and it would go to that website. But the website was still player ran. So it was like the devs were working with the players that were running the website in order to like share their code in order to get that to work. And there's no actual currencies in Path of Exile. There's no gold, there's no credits. The currencies are the crafting items, and something's value is based on how rare it is and like the effect that it has on the crafting system. So there's like chaos orbs, which were the base, like chaos orbs and results were like what typically things were sold for. Chaos orbs would like re-roll a rare item, like re-roll the stats on it completely. Exalts would like add a random stat, like a new random stat onto a rare item. And exalts were like the premium currency typically. And chaos orbs were like it would be like an exalt is worth 56 chaos orbs or whatever.
Wow.
And what was really interesting was there's like different leagues in Path of Exile. There's the permanent league, which is there all the time.
Yeah.
But not as many people play that as the temporary leagues, which only ran like, I think, 3 months. And every 3 months,
there was like a reset. There
was completely reset. And every character that you had in that temporary league would get transferred to the standard league. And then the next league would start and it would have like all new mechanics and new like unique things to that league. And
it's almost like, so it's like a basically like a Minecraft server.
Kinda. Yeah. And like, yeah, the market would completely reset. So everyone starts from scratch. Everyone starts with like no characters. Everyone starts leveling up a character and farming all the end game stuff again and figuring out like what the new stuff that's introduced in that league is worth.
Yeah.
And people will like pay to, like, if they can't run a certain thing, like something called the Uber Labyrinth, it would actually be profitable to build a character specifically geared at farming, like the Uber Labyrinth, so that you could farm it and you could carry other people through it, and they would pay you to bring them through the lab.
Wow, that's crazy. That's cool.
It was really cool. Did you ever play it in a long time?
Yeah, did you ever play WoW?
I did not, no.
You did not? Dang
it. No.
Because I remember, if I'm remembering correctly, I did play a little bit. I don't think I was born before WoW came out, honestly.
No, you were.
I was?
Yeah.
When did the first WoW come out?
You're only like a year younger than me, and I remember when WoW came out.
I'm a month younger than you, dude.
Yeah. Less than a year.
We went over this several times. But I'm pretty sure that in WoW, with the crafting aspect, certain people, like two people can make the same item and one person can make it better than the other person, depending on like their level and like their skill and how many times they've made that item. I don't remember that's true. I don't know what game I'm thinking of, but I remember something like that. And then, of course, like these guys that do nothing but craft, they can craft way better items than this person. It could be the same exact thing, but the one that this experienced guy is crafting is going to be better just because he's making a higher grade of that item.
Yeah, there was like crafting specific things where like if you were especially built up in like your reputation with one like Grandmaster in Path of Exile, you could gain like additional specific things that you could craft onto certain items. And that was like another way that you could make money, because you could be like, hey, I can add this specific craftable attribute onto your item. I'll like give me your item and like X amount of price and I'll craft it onto there and then I'll give you your item back. Like there was just like so many ways, because the game is still huge. There's so many ways to earn money that you can just be like, this is how I want to earn my money.
Yeah,
and then there's like certain RP, people who, again, like are going to want to be like, I'm going to run the market.
Yeah.
November 23rd, 04 was World of Warcraft, by the way.
What date again?
November 23rd, 2004. So,
oh, okay.
17 years ago.
Yeah.
Which is crazy.
It was before I was a PC gamer, so.
Yep.
But we're nerding out hard.
Yep.
Early on in this episode. So I apologize if you're not a nerd. But I have a question that will break the nerdness a little bit.
A little bit?
Why do public bathrooms still have door handles?
Okay, I've seen this question on here for weeks, and I don't understand what you mean.
It's just as simple as that. Why do they have door handles? Why haven't they figured out another way so that you don't have to freaking touch the door? Because it's like, you go in there, you do your business, you wash your hands, and like, I know me personally, I'll take the paper towel that I use to wipe my hands to open the door, but I shouldn't have to do that. There should be a way I can open the door without using my hands.
The most annoying thing is when, and I understand hand dryers are better for the environment because you don't have to like waste the paper to dry your hands.
Yes.
But then I can't open the door without touching the door handle that freaking Joe Schmo just like walked out of the stall after destroying the bathroom, didn't wash his hands, and then walked right out. I have to now touch that. Yeah. And I'm like trying I'm trying to like ninja this thing by like putting my foot up in the air, open the door and like swing it open and get out.
Dude, I'll be honest, if Joe Schmo got poopy on the door handle and I had nothing to open the door, I would be held captive in that bathroom.
Like, well, I live here now.
I would be like, oh, well, I live in this bathroom now, or until someone bails me out.
Someone opens the door and you're like, thank you.
Like I'm sitting in the corner with like a beard, like, oh, thank you.
No one's been in here for 3 days. Like, what have you been eating?
Seriously,
I don't want to talk about it.
It's like, I understand that we can't have the best of technology in every like store and every like grocery store, but like at this point, especially especially now that we've been through this huge pandemic and it's hopefully made people realize that they have to be a little cleaner with the crap that they do from day to day, to come up with a better solution for public bathroom doors.
It's already like, there. You know what it is?
The swinging
door? It's just a push and swing door.
Yes.
You just pull it open to walk in. And then when you are done, you wash your hands and then you just push it open with your foot.
Yeah.
You don't have to
like
turn
the,
anything.
The doors they have in like restaurants where like the, you go into the back room. Yeah. It's the same exact thing. I don't know why the technology is there.
But for some reason, some people are just like, hey, we're going to do a pull door when you're inside. So now you have to touch the poopy handle.
Oh, better yet, you know what we're going to do? We're going to put a handle on it that you have to unlock the door. Oh, that will be great.
Yeah. It's just cruel. But the thing is, though, the especially cruel part is it's in the bathrooms that are clean that the door is a push open from the inside.
Yes, exactly.
So you don't care as much because you're like, this bathroom is clean. As it was cleaned like right before I walked in here. I can tell.
Yeah,
like I saw the employee walking out of here. It smells like roses. I would like lick the door handle. That's how sure I am that this bathroom is clean.
I mean,
it's the nasty bathroom that has like poop smeared on the wall. That I have to twist it with my hand
for a good time call open. Carved into the stalled door.
Yeah. I'm like, oh man, this is just, it's literally just one or the other. There's no in between.
And can we also talk about how, I don't know if this is a thing, but dude, in the place that I work, there's a big, like, you know, where all the customers and all the customers and like the employees like congregate kind of like in the cafeteria area, and they have the public bathrooms, and we don't have a bathroom in our shop, so I have to go to those. And dude, I'll go in there like to go pee, and I don't know what it is, but every dude, like every tech that goes in there to take a dump, it's just like just like explosive diarrhea. And I'm just like, bro, what are you eating? Like, you don't have normal crap? Like, it's every single time. Like, I'm sitting there doing my business, and just the one guy, like, as soon as his ass hits the freaking toilet bowl, he's like, and I'm just like, oh my God, dude. Eat, like, change your diet, man. I don't know why that makes me so upset, but I think the reason it makes me so upset is because when I go and I try to find a stall that I want to freaking take a dump in, it's all splattered like from the top of the freaking toilet down to the water of just poop.
Yeah, I'm like, how did you do this?
How? That poop doesn't even do that. Like, how did he do that?
I think I sent you a meme one time that was like how people use public restrooms. And it was a dude like with his feet on the wall and his hands on the wall. And he was like and peeing and pooping at the same time.
It's like, it's so accurate. I've opened stall doors to toilets that I'm just like, I literally like sit there and I'm like, how?
It was like, there should be like crime scene tape over this door.
Exactly. And I'm like, how does this even happen?
This reminded me, my wife and I were talking the other day. You need to ask your wife if she's the same way, because I think this is like a common woman thing and just like a way that men and women are different.
Does mine need to be handed a mic?
I don't think so. Men have no problem just like walking into a public bathroom, and if there's other dudes in there using the bathroom, they can just freely poop.
Yeah.
They don't think about it. They're not like, oh, I don't want this dude to hear me pooping.
I'll typically leave a stall in between another person.
Yeah. But you have no problem being like, I need to poop. There's someone else in here pooping. We all came here to do the same thing. We're in a bathroom. We all came here to poop or pee.
I won't lie though, like when I hear farting and stuff in the bathroom when I'm there, it's hard for me not to bust out laughing.
Yeah, you laugh, but it's not like, oh, weird. You farted in the bathroom. We were literally, my wife the other day was like, oh, I need to go to the bathroom. And she went to go to the bathroom in Target. And then she came back out and went, like, got in the car and was like, oh, there was someone else in there. I couldn't poop. And I was like, what? What?
That might be just a your wife thing, though.
No, I don't think so. I really don't. Because I've heard that from other women, too. It's that, like, they don't want others in the restroom to, like, hear them using the restroom.
I don't know, dude, because my wife has no problem going in the bathroom just blowing it up.
I don't know.
Well, hold on. Let me ask. Babe. Yeah? Come here. You're going to be on the podcast for like a minute.
Okay. Hey babe, Corin's getting Leah on here. Do you want to defend yourself?
Okay. So yes,
okay. Maya's coming down to defend herself.
Okay, so I'm gonna ask Leah first. So Jordan just told me that Maya went to the public bathroom, and she went in and she came back and she said I couldn't poop because there was someone else in the bathroom.
Okay.
Now if you went in the bathroom, do you do this too, Leah? If you went in the bathroom and there's someone else in there, do you have any issues just letting loose and pooping in the bathroom?
Yeah, I don't know if it's like a mental thing or if it's just like American bathroom stalls are stupid, but.
So you won't poop?
I mean, I will because I don't care to an extent because I think it's funny when other people hear me.
So I told you, she doesn't want to as well.
I mean, when I was in high school, I had like a real constipation issue.
Okay, we don't need to know that.
I was scared to go to the bathroom when other people like hear me poop. I don't know. It's like
no, yeah, no. See, it's not about hearing me necessarily. For me, it's like I don't care if you hear me, but I don't want to stand next to you because what happened was I was in there pooping.
You're standing and pooping? And someone else came in
and started pooping. And I was like, I don't want to stand next to you at the sink washing my hands like, oh, we just pooped together. I feel closer to you now. Like, I don't want that. No, I'm going to get out of there before you even leave the stall because, like, we will never see each other's face. I don't want you to know that I just pooped next to you.
Yeah, low key, like when I go into a bathroom and there's like music playing or it's like the air conditioning is really loud, I'm like, yes, I can poop in. Yes. No one will hear me.
I walk into a bathroom and I'm just like, I need to use the bathroom.
No, it's all about the ambient noise. Like, can I poop?
Or like, if so I can, the strat great. Is to like wait until like they turn on the faucet or like they're like drying.
Oh my god, you're tactical pooping. Okay, get out of here. All right, get out. Get out.
Yes! It's like all the hand dryer I turned on.
All right, that's enough screen time for them. Oh my god. Tactical pooping.
Tactical pooping! That's the name of the episode.
You heard it here first on the Glitches and Gearheads podcast. Oh my lord.
I told you your wife was gonna say the same thing.
I never knew. I never knew. You learned
something new about your wife today.
Both your wives are crazy. Congratulations.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh my god, that's so good. Wow,
my eyes have been opened. Oh man, I've never thought twice about that. I maybe it's just because guys just don't care.
That's what I said. I was like, they probably just don't care.
Like, it's almost like...
like, it's a joke. Like, guys joke about, like, bathroom humor all the time, right?
Yeah, it's like, or like, poop. Or like when we burp, it's like... it's nice. Like, oh, I burped louder than you. You know what I mean? It's like a competition. Yeah. Like, oh, my freaking, I farted louder than you did. Like, I don't know. It's just, I guess it's different. I don't know. That's news to me. Wow.
Today you learned. The more you know.
Yeah. I was today's years old when I found out.
Your wife doesn't like pooping in the bathroom, or if she does, she has to be tactical about it.
Yeah, I guess so. Sorry, well, you want to change the topic?
I guess. I don't even know how to transition after that. Like, how am I supposed to be like, all right, so after talking about poop for like 20 minutes, let's talk about VPNs.
Okay, yeah, let's talk about VPNs.
Yeah, so okay, so have you gotten one yet?
I have not. I'm considering this. I'm definitely going to probably get one this next paycheck. The only reason I haven't is because money's been tight this last couple of weeks, and I just couldn't. Even though it's like, you only pay like $3 for a month, you know what I mean? Yeah. But still, I just couldn't. I was just scared. But yes, this next paycheck, I'm definitely getting. I'm most likely getting Nord, but I'm still kind of back and forth between Nord and Express.
Nord and Express. Yeah, those are like the two top ones. So, yeah. Like, okay. Some people, I think a lot of our viewers, probably like half. I like to believe that like our viewers are split somewhat 50-50 between like car people and tech people. Mm-hmm. The car people and even some of the tech people might be like, I've heard the term VPN. Why do I want one? Why do I need one? What are the benefits?
Yeah, it's more like, why do you need one? Because they are very important, but go ahead.
Yeah. So what are your reasons for wanting a VPN?
Well, one of the main reasons is because, you know, as everyone knows, you can get once you change your location, you can get Netflix and like these streaming platforms. When you change your region, you can get things that are available in that region that are not available in your region. Mm-hmm. But more specifically, when you're doing online banking and paying all your bills online and gaming online, and like we're in an age where you can get someone's IP and do some damage to that person's network.
Yep.
If you're knowledgeable enough, which you're almost like a YouTube video away from being like, oh, how do I hack this guy's computer?
It's not like if you're knowledgeable enough nowadays. It's like, do you want to watch a video on like,
yeah, how much do you hate this person right now that you're going to go out of your way to do research on how to hack this person's network? And you'd be surprised how many people would be like, oh yeah, I want to learn that. You know what I mean? So that's another reason why I want to get it, because, you know, we do everything online. At least me, I do everything online. Mm-hmm. My like, what do you call it? Your like stamp on the internet.
Your internet identity.
Yeah, your internet personality is like, mine is really big because I do everything on the internet. I game, I bank, I deal with my money, I deal with my family.
You do your taxes even most, like most people do their taxes online.
Yeah, I do my taxes completely through the internet. So it's like, so hey, by the time this is out, I already have a VPN. So if you think about hacking me, so ha.
Joke's on you, suckers.
Joke's on you.
So yeah, like we're in an era where virtual security is as important, if not, I'd say even more so important to a certain extent than like physical security.
Yeah.
I would value, and I do value, getting like a VPN and paying for a VPN way more than I value paying for like any kind of home security system, like SimpliSafe or something like that.
Yeah.
Because
like, I mean, it depends on where you live. As it is,
you can lock your doors, you can lock your windows, close your blinds, all that stuff. And there's even like studies that have shown that like stuff like SimpliSafe and whatnot doesn't actually even stop like burglars and stuff that much. It's more so like makes you feel safe.
Yeah. Just a little like disclaimer though, I do recommend getting stuff like Ring these little things, because you know, having like, for instance, a Ring and having it record someone as soon as they get on your property is a big deterrent. And especially like people that, I don't know who the heck burglars homes anymore, but to these people that actually do that, they see that and they can't do anything. Once it sees their face, that's it. They can either go for it and steal your stuff, but you know who the freaking person is, or they'll be like, ah, dang it. You know what I mean? And make them.
But you just kind of mentioned it too. Like, who the chances of getting burglarized in real life or getting something stolen from you in real life, depending on where you live, I'd say for like most people, unless you live in like an insanely high crime area or something like that, is probably way, way lower than getting something stolen virtually.
That is true. I would agree, because a lot, like I just said, a lot of the stuff we do now is online, especially mm-hmm. in freaking Rona times. I would honestly say 90% of the things we do is online now.
Oh yeah, for sure. Like I watch Netflix or any other streaming service, play games, YouTube, banking, taxes, everything. Basically everything is done online.
Yeah.
So
shopping.
What a VPN does for those who are a little not in the know, it's called a virtual private network. Basically what it does is it routes you through another network, and it's like another layer of security. So if someone's trying mm-hmm. to hack you, they have to hack through that other network that probably has way better security than like your home network does.
Yeah. And if you go through like Norton Express, you're almost guaranteed that they have a way better security than you do at your home network.
Yeah. And you can typically, like with Norton at least, you can like change the network that you're connected through. Mm-hmm. So again, like you can change it periodically, making it again even harder for someone to like hack you. So additional security, huge. It can speed up your internet speeds.
Yeah, which I have heard that.
Sounds weird. Some people might be like, how can it speed it up if I'm like adding another connection? But a lot of ISPs will throttle your speeds if they notice a lot of activity via like gaming, mm-hmm. streaming, whatever. But if you're using a VPN, your ISP actually can't see your activity.
That's
they
awesome.
They can't see what you're doing.
Yeah,
so
because
they can't be like, oh, you're doing a lot of this. We're going to throttle you.
Yeah, I had to think that freaking Spectrum does that to me, because there's times when I can download a 50 gig game in like 20 minutes. And there's other times when I try to download a 50 gig game and it's like, oh, yeah, this will take all week. Mm-hmm. It's like, what?
Yep. So throttling, if you have an ISP, basically a thing of the past. Or if you have a VPN, sorry, not an ISP. And again, like you mentioned, getting around like the area blocks, like let's say you want to watch a show on Netflix, but it's not available in the US, but it is available in Canada or in Germany. Mm-hmm. You can just go on your VPN and be like, oh, I'm in Canada. I'm connected through Canada. And the internet is basically like, oh, you're in Canada. Cool. Cool, eh? You can watch everything in Canada. So for anyone who's on the fence about getting a VPN, this is basically just your public service announcement. Get one.
To get one. And they are honestly really affordable. Like I said, I mean, like I know Nord and Express are almost constantly running deals.
Oh yeah.
And I believe like here, I'll just so I'm politically correct here. Nord VPN. Let's see how much it is per month, because I'm pretty sure it's dollars.
Yeah, it's literally dollars. Depending on what one you're getting, it's like $3 a month.
Yeah, so let's see pricing. Here we go. Yeah, $3.71 for a 2-year plan.
For something that's going to give you increased privacy, security, streaming access, potentially higher speeds, and you can connect even through like your computer, through your smartphones, through your tablets. You can connect your entire router through your VPN if you want, so your entire network is protected.
This is so cute. On NordVPN's like main page, they have at the bottom, user PewDiePie, 109 million subscribers, and he has a quote. He says, I use NordVPN every single day. It's fast, it's reliable, it's safe. It helps me access epicness. I don't know why I thought that was so cute.
So yeah, but anyone on the fence about it or anyone just hearing about it, go look into getting one.
Go look into getting one for sure.
It'll be like the best $3 a month that you spent for peace of mind anytime you're doing something online.
Oh, and before you do, I feel like I'm just giving away free publicity, but it's not like they're going to. Anyway, install Honey before you do it, because most likely you're going to get to check out and you'll even get a better deal for a discount. Yeah. So
Nord, Express, Honey, anyone.
Yep.
Any three of those. Yeah. Hey, hit us up.
Yeah. Hit us up. We love you. Love us back.
It'll even, I'm just going to say this, a VPN will even make it so that you can poop silently.
What? I'm sold. You don't have to tell me anymore, you know?
Mm-hmm. All those right, worries well, when you walk into a public bathroom, being like, oh man, wish I could poop silently. Just turn on your VPN, no one will hear.
Yes. Disclaimer, that does not work.
Hey, that's the next big thing.
That's the next big thing. Just virtual a pooping VPN network. Bubble.
It's a VPN. Put no, the still, it's still you. Called a VPN, but it's a virtual pooping network.
Yes, that's awesome. Oh man. All right. Well, I think we're about ready. I think that's to how wrap we ended, it up. Huh? Yeah. We're about to, on the subject of virtual pooping network, I think we're ready to wrap it up. Again, we didn't have Devin here, Sag, but hopefully he'll be back next here. Week.
I think they made up for it. We had our wives here. They made up for
it. Oh yeah. Yeah. They made up for Devin's lack of appearance, which was nice to have a little input from our lady friends.
A little input from our tactical poopers.
Yeah. We nerded out and we talked about virtual economy and video games, which is cool. I enjoyed that. Hopefully you enjoyed it as well. What else did we talk about? We talked about VPNs and how you should most likely get one because anyone and everyone could use one. Like, if you go online, you can use a VPN. So, yeah, I mean.
And we talked about hashtag boycott Genshin Impact and how people should probably educate themselves before they jump on a hate wagon.
Yeah, I mean, it's Twitter, though. What do you expect?
Yeah, what am I saying?
Yeah, just. If you don't want to jump on a hate
pick up your pitchfork and join in or Twitter. Get off Twitter, right?
But that's it for this week. Thank you for joining us. And thank you to all our listeners. We love each and every single one of you. Sorry that Henry Cavill did not come on. But
hey, we didn't make any promises.
Oh, look, he did put on in the Discord. Couldn't get on tonight. Sorry, guys. Love you. Yeah. Be on next week.
Yeah, I missed that.
So look at that.
XOXO. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow, look at that. Next week, Henry Cavill will be here. And he says it right there with a XO and XO. Man.
Oh.
What a guy, you know? All right. We love you. Peace.
Bye.